Again, I ask that you would continue to pray this morning. And the subject that's been on my mind, I think it's one that's very applicable, again, to the times that we're living in today. And I want to take my message this morning with the Lord being our helper from Psalm 139. As you're turning there, one of the interesting things to come out of these, what we've heard often, unprecedented times is in the times of social distancing and having quite a long period of time where things were closed down and many of us were working from home and not able to go out and about so much. A lot of people started engaging in endeavors that they had not had the time or even given thought to. And one of the endeavors that we started at the Green household is that we became chicken farmers somewhere along the way. And it wasn't anything planned. All of a sudden, we had a whole bunch of chickens. We always had two or three chickens, but at last count, I think we're up to about 45 chickens on the Green homestead now. And they are interesting characters. They we allow them to roam and range during the day, and it's very interesting observing them. But one of the, I guess, when you think about it being a chicken, one of the most humorous things is just how reactionary and impulsive they are. I don't think chickens ever plan their day. They react at whatever stimulus is occurring in front of them. You throw feed in front of them, the chicken's going to eat the feed. If you get too close to the chicken, it's going to run off. And they really don't have a lot of situational awareness. We have some chickens that I think you could, you know, anything could just snag them up and they would be none the wiser. But it's interesting watching them. They're fascinating creatures, but very reactive. They just react to everything that's going on around them. And they always seem to be just on a heightened state of alert because of the way that they react. And as I got to thinking about that, you know, I'm not an expert on sheep, but I'm starting to learn a lot about chickens. But the thought came to me as we've watched our chicken population grow and do their thing is that when the Bible likens us as the Lord's people to sheep or livestock or animals of that nature, it's not necessarily a compliment, but it's really accurate to what we are by human nature. By human nature, we are very reactionary. I've studied a little bit about sheep, and they're reactionary. They're not very smart. They, on their own, left to their own devices, they are very weak. They have no natural defenses, and they just scramble from one issue to the other. And all of that is a wonderful, wonderful description of what we are apart from the blessings and the grace of God, apart from the wisdom of God permeating our lives, so we are. And it's amazing as you read the psalm, we're going to look at Psalm 139 this morning, but there are many other places that you can go in the psalms, and you see this play out over and over again. And now the 139th psalm, before you get to the first verse, many of your psalms have headings kind of giving you an idea of what the purpose, the initial use for those psalms were. And this psalm was titled to the chief musician, a psalm of David. And the 139th psalm was written to recalibrate and refocus God's people on what is most important in their lives. And the whole 139th psalm is to refocus on who God is and what He has done for us as His people. And I don't know any other time in my past that there is that need all around us as far as God's people. Again, you think of all the challenges that we've already mentioned this morning, navigating a pandemic, navigating through divisiveness and calamity that perhaps our country has not experienced in centuries. And then just the challenges that come with living in our complex complicated world, to state it in the simplest way possible, we lose our focus, and that causes us challenges as God's people. Well, I want to say as we study God's Word and we study a little bit about the psalmist David, we're going to see that he had those same experiences in his life. David got distracted, didn't he? David forgot what his priorities were to be. David forgot who he was accountable to. This man that was after God's own heart got distracted. But I'm thankful that by God's inspiration, he was reminded, he was recalibrated, he was refocused on what was important. And what we're going to see in the 139th Psalm is it's going to tell us about God and the greatness of God and what God does for us and in us as his people. And it helps us remember what our purpose is here in this world. And I want to say our purpose isn't to run just from one calamity to another one like the chickens do or like a sheep. Our purpose is to be found glorifying God and trusting in Him in the midst of the difficulties of life. And we need to remember that. We obviously do need to remember that we have been saved by the grace of God and we've been saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. But what we also understand from God's Word is that as those that are saved, we've been blessed and equipped with the ability to glorify the one that saved us, to magnify the one who delivers us. And when we are reacting and acting out of fear, out of our current circumstances, when we're making decisions that aren't biblical, when we're allowing emotions to govern what we do, God's not glorified in that. But let's turn to 139th Psalm, and we're gonna refocus this morning from God's Word. We're gonna see the God that we serve, and hopefully we'll see that our purpose is to bring glory to that one who saved us. So the 139th Psalm, David writes in verse 1, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4, it says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Verse 7, he says, Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, with which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious, he says in verse 17, also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. What a wonderful description of the God we serve. I know I read several verses this morning, but I think it's appropriate that we look at this whole context this morning because we have David extolling the virtues of our God. And what a wonderful blessing. We see that God is on his throne. We see as David pens these words to us that we serve an omniscient God that knows everything about us. We also see that we serve an omnipotent God who has all power and all strength and all might. And then I believe we see in here as well that we serve an omnipresent God that is everywhere. And my friends, that is a wonderful blessing to think about, again, in the challenging days that we're living in. Aren't you thankful to know that your circumstance has not caught God by surprise? That whatever your situation, wherever you currently find yourself in life right now, God knows, God's there, and his grace is sufficient for whatever you're going through. And that's what King David was speaking of here in this 139th Psalm. First of all, he speaks in verse 1 and he says, "Thou hast searched me and known me." When we get in times of difficulty and we get in the flesh, as we're apt to do in challenging times, one of the first things that we like to do is we like to think that our circumstances is so unique. Nobody knows what we're experiencing. Nobody's acquainted with what we're going through. As the old spiritual goes, nobody knows the trouble I've gone through. And perhaps David was having one of those seasons in his life. There were many opportunities for that when you study the life of David. You think about early on in his life, as he was anointed to be the next king of Israel after King Saul, he didn't immediately ascend to the throne. He was tracked down and hunted, and he was on the most wanted list because of Saul having a spirit that was not of God within him. He had to flee his homeland. That will cause you distress. You've been anointed by the prophet, and you've been told you have God's seal of approval that you're going to be the next king of Israel, but then you have to flee because your life is in danger because of the current king. You think about when David did finally ascend to the throne of Israel. Was everything easy then? No, there were threats from without. There were threats from within. And there were threats that came from his own home. And then put all of that aside and just David getting in the flesh. Most of us know what happened between David and Bathsheba and then the subsequent follow-up of all of that. And then you see later on the trials and troubles continue, and they come from David's family again. And then at the end of David's life, we see challenges and difficulties, and David could have easily said, nobody knows what responsibilities I have to bear. I am all alone. There is nobody that I can turn to counsel. But we see God encourages him. He says, "Thou hast searched me and known me." I want you to understand, my friends, this morning, nobody in this world may not know what you're going through, but our Lord knows. I'm thankful for people that can help bear our burdens. We go through difficulties, and maybe somebody's gone through the same trials that you've gone through. But they've not walked in your shoes. They don't know the unique experiences that you're going through. They don't know the unique emotions that you're dealing with in your trial. But God knows. David says here, "You've searched me and you've known me." And understand, when he says this, he's not talking about him just seeing us visually, but he even sees through us. He knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're going through. You know, he knows how we're processing through the difficulties and the challenges and the trials of life. He knows our every thought. He would go on in verse 2. He says, "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." I want you to understand, there isn't a move that we make, there's not a thought that we take that God doesn't see. Now, on the surface, that might cause fear, but I want you to understand, as a child of God, as one that has been born again, as one that's been purchased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, That ought to give us comfort. That ought to encourage us in the midst of our difficulties. You know, you say, well, you don't know the thoughts that I have. You don't know the doubts that I have. You don't know the battle that I have within my mind. Well, child of God, I'm thankful that God knows, and I'm thankful that Jesus Christ died and paid your sin debt. I'm thankful that He's covered those faithless thoughts, those carnal thoughts, those worldly thoughts that we have. David took great comfort in knowing that God knows his circumstance. And here's what we rejoice in as God's people, that He loves us, He sent His Son to die for us and in spite of our sins, in spite of our weaknesses. And David says in verse 4, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." He knows our thoughts. And David says here that there's not a word in his tongue that he doesn't know. Have you ever thought about that? You ever think of how many words you speak in a day? The average person speaks enough words to fill a novel in a day. Some of us can fill several novels. Some of us might fill an encyclopedia in a day. Don't look around and point, but understand God knows them. Nothing gets past Him. And that ought to encourage us. That says that He is always on the job. He is always on the throne. It ought to motivate us to be careful about how we use our words towards other people. Jesus would talk about, you know, every idle word that men speak, He shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. But He knows the words we speak. He knows the thoughts of our minds. He knows those innermost struggles that we have that we will not articulate to anyone else. He knows, and He knows what we stand in need of. David would go on in the 139th Psalm and then say in verse 5, he says, "After that, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me." He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." David says, "You know my every thought. You see right through me. You know the challenges that I have. You know the difficulties that I have. You know the struggles that I have that I've not revealed to anyone else." And notice what he says here. "You're always with me, even in the midst of all of that." Now, there's a couple of ways that we can apply that. I'm glad that I can't read people's minds. I don't want to know what everybody thinks about me. Working with the public in the school system, surprise, surprise, you don't make everybody happy with your decisions. I don't want to know what they think about me. Sometimes, Brother Doug, they'll tell you what they think about you and you don't have to read their minds. But I'm thankful that God in all of that still loves us and He's with us. But as we struggle with the challenges of life, we can trust that He knows what we need in those difficult times. He is always with us. Notice again, David says, "Thou hast beset me behind and before." He says, you've been there in the past, you're there in the future, and your hand is with me. And David just says that such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. What he's saying there is this blows my mind. I can't figure out. This is so great. I don't know how you do it, but I'm thankful that you do. Our Lord is always with us. You know, as a child of God, sometimes we don't feel that way, do we? You know, we go through the circumstances of life. As we battle this flesh, the flesh wars against the spirit. Sometimes it seems that God's afar off. Sometimes we even get to the point where we think that God has completely forsaken us. And every once in a while we may get to the point where we doubt that we're even one of His children. I want you to know, David tells us God is still there. If we're not feeling the presence of the Lord in our life, it's because of us. But He is always there. I like in the book of Jeremiah, where we have the judgment of God coming down upon Old Testament Israel because of their disobedience and their turning away from God. There was still that encouragement that God was there with them. They were going to suffer the consequences of their action, but God was with them. Notice Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23 would say this. He says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Our God is always with us. And I want you to understand, when he says that he will never leave us or forsake us, that means that he is always with us. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 17, Paul would speak about the Creator God as being the Sustainer God, the one that's always with us. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. I'm thankful that God meets us here in this place and blesses us with his Spirit. And there's a blessing to be enjoyed as you assemble yourself together in public worship. But understand that God is with us when we leave this place as well. Some people think that this is the only place where God is. Now, he is here. His Spirit is here. But he is also everywhere present and nowhere absent. That's a wonderful blessing. And David would ask the question in verses 7 and 8, whither shall I go up from thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He's everywhere. Everywhere present, nowhere absent. And what a wonderful blessing to think about. He's everywhere. He's ruling and reigning in heaven. And then David says here, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there as well. Now understand, some people think that the devil is the one that's the ruler over hell. He's not. God is on his throne. God's ruling. The devil and his angels are going to be cast into that lake of fire someday. But there's nowhere in infinity that can escape the power and the presence of God. And what a wonderful blessing. That there is no distance that separates us, but separates us from our God. The ones that we feel, it's because of our frailty and our weakness, he is always there. Now in the ninth verse of Psalm 139, David would say this, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Well, what is he talking about here, if I take the wings of the morning? Well, this is an interesting phrase, beautiful word picture. And I think what David is speaking about here, what are the wings of the morning? I believe it's the rays of the sun. As the sun comes up, and on a cloudless day, you probably didn't see the sun this morning, but on a cloudless day when the sun comes up, its rays beam, and that's light. And David says this, if I take up the wings of the morning, he said basically he's saying if I jumped on a beam of light and just went as far as it could take me, God is still there. The speed of light is incredible. It's a speed that we can't really fathom. I mean, we can quantify, but I can't fathom it. But David says, if I traveled at the speed of light, just as far as I could go, God, he is still there. Isn't that wonderful to think about? God doesn't have to go anywhere. Sometimes we think, well, I can run and escape from God. Jonah thought that. Jonah thought, well, if I go the opposite direction of where God told me to go, I could escape him. Was Jonah able to do that? No, he wasn't. We try to run from God. We try to escape the hand of God. But David says, he is everywhere. And my friends, for a child of God, again, that should be a consolation to us. He says that, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That tells me as well, as we look at our circumstances of life, that wherever we find ourselves, God is there with us. He will bless us. His grace is sufficient through whatever trials we're going through. Difficulties in life will have a tendency to isolate us. And human nature being the way it is, sometimes people will isolate from us in our times of greatest need. But God never does that. He is always there with us. It's a wonderful blessing to think about. And David would go on. He says in verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." That ought to encourage us. Isn't that wonderful to think about? We've heard the prayer request this morning, and there are many needs out there. But even when we're gripped with sickness and affliction, even when we suffer because of the infirmities of this flesh, God is still there. And I'm thankful. We can go forward with boldness. We can go forward in faith because darkness does not hinder our God. He says, "Surely the darkness shall cover me, but even the night shall be light about me." In the darkest of trials, our God is our light. I'm thankful that that's a wonderful blessing. Understand, the light that's spoken of here, God doesn't need the light to see. He can see into the night. When it speaks about light, that's a wonderful blessing and a reminder to us that our God is greater than the darknesses of this world. But we see that. We see the wonderful presence of God everywhere. God doesn't have to go find us. He's already there. We can't run away from God. We will never be isolated from the one who created us, the one who saved us, and the one that delivered us. And we see this repeated over and over. We have an almighty God who knows what we stand in need of. Now as we go on in the psalm, David is encouraging himself with these words. And then as David goes on, we see that his attitudes and his actions, they're directed because of the understanding of this truth. He says in Psalm 139 and verse 13, and very appropriate as we think about supporting those outreaches that help women make decisions as far as children and life. David says this in verse 13. He says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are all thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Simply stated, David is saying with these two verses that my life is a life of purpose because God is on his throne. And aren't you thankful that we're created for a purpose in this world? On Wednesday nights, we've been looking at the book of Genesis and looking at the creation account and looking at the simplicity of God's word that teaches us that God was the one that spoke this world into existence, and God is the one that created man from the dust of the earth and breathed life into him and created the woman and gave the blessing and the commandment for man to go forth and multiply. Why was that? Well, there was a purpose in that, to bring glory to God. Sometimes people look at children and think that they're just an accident. Sometimes we can get the point and think of our own lives as well. I just really have no purpose for being here. Oh, we live in a time where so many are gripped with hopelessness. But David, as he encouraged himself in the sovereign power of God, the God who rules, when he says here, "Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb," he's saying, my life has a purpose. And when we read reins, what are reins? Well, you think about reins as being on a horse. What do you do with reins on a horse? Well, you guide that horse. You make that horse move with purpose. And David is saying here, "For thou hast possessed my reins." He says, my life has purpose. My life has a meaning. My existence why I'm here is for a reason. And my friends, we need to understand that our lives are the primary purpose of our lives is to bring glory to the one who brought us into existence. To bring glory to the one as a child of God who laid down his life for us. And he says here again, verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." My friends, we need to be diligent to show that example in our lives, to encourage others in that truth that we are not merely accidents. We are not just merely the result of some chemicals that collided together billions of years ago, that we were created in the image of God, and our lives are to be lived out in a purposeful way and to bring glory and honor unto Him. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist, he was in awe at the miracle of life. And, you know, David didn't have the insights that we have today. David, I don't think, went to post-grad school to learn about microbiology. Brother John Anthony is going to college to learn about all of those details. He's studying things that I don't think I can even pronounce. But you know, the more and more scientists dig into what makes us us, you know, when it's objectively looked at, it's a further testimony of our great Creator. And I think it further elaborates what David says here. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, if David understood that with the limited understanding that he had during his time, how much more so today? Where we can look at actual cells, and you look at cells and what comprises cells that make up the different systems of our bodies, even broken down to the cellular level, it's like a whole universe in a cell. And you break those down further and further and further, and all of it has the fingerprints of a designer. All of it has the handiwork of God written on it. David was in all of this. He says, God made it all. And he says here that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't say we're a hapless accident. Now, which gives you more comfort this morning? I'm just a hapless accident in this world, or I am fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator God. My friends, we get great comfort when we understand that God is the one that created us, that He's the one that sustains us, He's the one that keeps us, and that I'm thankful that as one of His children, He has a purpose for us being here. Not a wonderful blessing. As we go on, so much more could be said about that. But then, you know, we see the creation aspect and the purpose in that. But then as we go on in verse 17, notice what he says. He says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Not only did He create us, not only did He make us fearfully and wondrously, the Bible says right here that He thinks about us. You know, I would be very confident in saying this morning that if I were to try to contact the President of the United States to wish him well as he recovers from COVID, that I probably wouldn't get him on the phone. I probably wouldn't even get his lowest secretary, whatever they do, whatever their title is. And, you know, he has a lot of responsibility. He has a lot of authority. I probably could not get on the phone and even call our state leaders and get somebody on the phone. When the state calls me, it's usually because something I haven't done that they want me to do. But it should put us in awe, it should humble us, and I believe it humbled David. He says this about our God. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Now there are many people that believe in the Creator God. There are many people that amen that our God is sovereign, that even that our God has delivered us and saved us from our sins. But there are quite a few people, and I think if we take an honest assessment of ourselves, practically speaking, we don't live in such a way many times where we understand that God has us on His mind. And he says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. Now, isn't that wonderful to think about? The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who breathed life into him and created him from the dust of the earth, made up all of the complicated systems that make us, the cells, the atoms, and all of those molecules, the one who has flung the stars out into space, that created the universe, he thinks about you. He thinks about me. You know, people may forget about you. Folks will disappoint you sometimes. Sometimes we think, well, nobody cares about me. And oh, my friends, we need to be careful to be thoughtful for others and reach out to others. But here's the great consolation, that even if no one else gave you a bit of thought in this world, our God thinks about us. He has us on his mind. And I'm thankful to know that when our Savior Jesus Christ hung upon the cross some 2,000 years ago and laid down his life, he was thinking about us as well. My friends, we don't need to be deists in philosophy. We don't need to be deists in practice. Our God knows us and he thinks about us. That is glorious. David says, oh God, how great is the sum of them? You ask the question, well, how much does God think about me? I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. There's nothing about me that I see would be attractive for anything about God. David says, how great is the sum of them? You know, he's not the cosmic Santa Claus. Sometimes we think that he is. You know, we think about God. He has a list, and he goes through that list from time to time. And, oh, there's Michael. There's Brother Jay. There's Brother Doug. And scrolls through the list, and then maybe sometime later he goes through them again. No, it says, how great is the sum of them? The infinite, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God that we trust him. We are always on his mind. Notice what he says. He says, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Now, just think about how much sand exists in the world. David lived in a very arid place. There was quite a bit of sand in that area. You know, if you don't have anything else to do this afternoon, just find a sandy place in your backyard. Get you a bowl full of sand and start trying to count out those grains. That would be an exercise in futility. What David is saying here is that God's thoughts towards us are infinite. We are always on his mind. He's not like us where we can reach a mental point where we really our minds get full and we can't multitask anymore. He doesn't get busy like we get busy. He doesn't, the stresses that we have, they don't affect him. He says that his thoughts, how great are the sum of them. He says they're more than the sand. And he says, when I awake, I am still with thee. He thinks about us, the minute details of our lives. He knows our deepest fears. He knows what they are. And he knows our greatest needs. And he is faithful and able to bless us. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? I'm thankful, you know, the psalmist David in Psalm 84 would write, he says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. My friends, whatever you're going through here in this world right now, and again, we grieve for those that are suffering. We've heard the prayer requests. We're fully aware of all of the challenges. They, my friends, have not caught God by surprise. And he is the one that's able to comfort us through these trials. That should refocus us as God's people. It's been an encouragement to me as I've studied and tried to meditate upon this psalm. And, you know, as I observe my chickens at home, my desire is to be less like them and more like the psalmist here and focusing on God. What I hope this accomplishes as we look at the 139th Psalm is to remind us who's in control. Remind us of who's in charge. Remind us of who is actively working in the lives of his people. Trials, tribulations, and difficulties, they're going to come as long as we're here in this world. But nothing has caught God by surprise. And I can't help but think this emboldened King David as he had to make the grave decisions that come upon those that are in authority. As he had to go out into battle, what an encouragement that must have been. As he suffered betrayal from those that were the closest to him. As he messed it up. this must have been some encouragement that God is greater than his foibles. That God is greater than his faults and his failures. He says, God is always with me. My friends, I pray that we would be encouraged in these wonderful truths. That he's the one that has searched us. He's the one that knows us. And he's the one that gives grace in spite of our shortcomings. He's the one that can comfort our greatest fears. He's the one that can give us wisdom to overcome the greatest difficulties of life. We as his people need to trust in him and walk in that faith. I pray the Lord that he would bless us as we strive to do that. Again, it's easy to stand up here and say that. The challenge comes with us living that out in our lives. But by his grace, we can. Now, again, there are many difficulties in our world today. But I'm thankful that we can indeed trust in the God that rules. The one who is everywhere present and nowhere absent. And I pray as we go through the challenges that we have. Not just the big ones. Let me say this. This truth is applicable in just the day-to-day decisions that we have to make in life. Our decisions don't need to be governed by our emotions. They don't need to be governed by popular opinion. They don't need to be governed by the path of least resistance or what we think the path of least resistance is. They need to be governed about the God who sees all, the God who knows all. He will bless us. Our purpose in this world is to glorify him and to walk by faith and obey his commandments. And his word has said he will bless us when we do this. He'll give us comfort. Comfort that that this world doesn't have. Comfort that we can't get from just reacting to the difficulties of this life. He gives us that peace that passes all understanding. That's the God we serve. I'm thankful that we serve that God. I want to encourage you to go forward in that strength. Let's turn to song number 154 this morning. Sometimes people will make the comment, they'll say, well, I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not a religious person. And a lot of times that's followed up with, I can worship God in my own way. I can worship God out in nature. I can worship.